The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray. I am delighted that you're here, and I'm really looking forward to talking about this episode because the topic is so prevalent, especially since COVID. We all know what that did to everybody in the world. And what it did to our thinking, our mentality when it comes around work, how it's affected the longevity and sustainability of workplaces. So today, my special guest, her name is Catherine Altman Morgan. She is an award-winning career transition expert who has been coaching clients and colleagues through job and life transitions for more than 20 years, two decades. She's a founder of Point A to Point B Transitions Incorporated and the author of This Isn't Working, Evolving the Way We Work to Decrease Stress, Anxiety, and Depression. I love that topic, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Absolutely. And so I always love starting my episodes with a story. So I would love to know, and I think my listeners would love to know, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this career transition. You've been doing this for two decades now. How did that come about?
Well, it's actually more than two decades, but at a certain point, I tell people to stop and leave it at the two instead of the three. What happened was, in my last corporate job, we had the option to work with a coach. And I jumped on the opportunity because I was hoping to do an internal transition within the company. I liked the company. I was in the wrong job for me. And for whatever reason, I couldn't accomplish that in almost 3 years. So I realized that I wasn't going to be able to make it happen for whatever reason, and was working with my coach on an exit strategy. And I had some time. I was getting good performance reviews. You know, it was fine from their side, not fine from my side. And at a certain point, my coach looked at me and said, you know, that resume and interview question coaching stuff that you've been doing for people for 20 years, it was 20 years then, you can get paid for that. And I had the light bulb moment. What? People pay for that? He's like, yeah, it's a legit business that people pay for. You don't have to give it away. The thought had not ever occurred to me that that was a business that I was highly qualified to do, that I could immediately roll out and hang a shingle for. So it was my coach at my previous employer, thank you, previous employer, who told me that I might want to do that for a living.
Well, that's awesome. I always love how the people I talk to, a lot of times they turn their struggle into their career or into helping others. And I think that's exactly what you have done. You used your struggle in your previous employer, in your previous job, and you turn it around to help people. And now all these years later, you're still doing it, and you wrote a book about it, and I can't wait to talk more about that. But let's kind of talk about this topic here of, we have a couple of things that is related to mental health around the job career One is being laid off and what that's like and what that does to you as a person. And also, maybe you haven't been laid off, but you're in a toxic workplace. Maybe it's a job or a manager or a team, and it's just toxic. And so I would love to kind of dissect that, and let's talk through, first of all, let's talk about what it's like, and then we'll talk about what are some strategies that people can use to help them get through this period of their life. So tell me a little bit, let's talk about layoffs first.
Layoffs. It is very likely that you or someone close to you has experienced a layoff. Maybe, you know, a decade, 20 years ago, it was less frequent, went to more of a stigma. That is not the case now. There's pretty good evidence that someone close to you or you personally have experienced it. And the temptation is to think that you'll wake up the next day and be, you know, just going on your job search and relaunching. But I think you do yourself a major disservice to not acknowledge the disruption that it has called and the effect on your identity that it may have. If you're the type of professional who has been used to identifying yourself by your title or your company, which is a lot of people, you will wake up the next day feeling untethered and not actually knowing who you are. And also, you will experience every emotion on the spectrum, from grief to sadness to anger to despair to and of and if you're not seeing a therapist, you might actually want to call one if you've experienced a layoff, because you will go through what is equivalent to the stages of grief, the Kubler-Ross stages of grief. And I think it's helpful to look at it that way, that something has been lost, something has died, your job is not there, and treat it with the appropriate reverence that this situation deserves, because it is a major disruption.
Yeah, I like how you put it as a whole gamut of emotions. And so often we can put our identity in our job, especially if we've been working at a job for a long time, or we put in a lot of work to get to be in that position. And then all of a sudden, without notice, we get laid off. And I had tons of clients who have gone through a layoff and it happened overnight, and they woke up and they saw an email saying that they were going to let, you know, they were being laid off, or they would wake up the next day to log in on their computer and they couldn't get in because they lost access to everything with their job. And so they place so much of their own self-worth, their own identity to their job. And like, you know, I can see that, I can understand that, because it's exciting, especially if it's a great job, or maybe it's your dream job. And finally, I arrived. Finally, people see and value me, and they see the what I can bring to it. And boom, it's a major, major blow. And so when you talked about just a wide gamut of emotions and how that really plays on their identity, I think that you're right on to something there. And it and when we place that identity in our job and that job is no longer there, then the question is, who am I? Who am I after all? Right?
Exactly.
And so I'm sure you see a lot too. And I do want to make a point here. You're not a therapist, but you do coach people in their career transitions. So this is very familiar to you.
Very familiar to me. In no way do I think my undergraduate degree in psychology from Vassar College makes me a mental health professional. I do never cross that line. However, in career transition, literally every demon will poke their head up. Stress, anxiety, depression, negative self-talk, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome. These folks get a seat at the table because they are going to be there. So, you know, I have had to help people navigate through this for the 14 years that I've been in business. Absolutely. The other thing I'd like to tag on to what you said is the first way to sort of get out of that identity piece. Yes, that is part of who you are. They can't take that away from you. But I like to have people pan out the lens and say, I am also maybe a partner or a sister or a mom. I also have, you know, friends, and I also have interests outside of the work. Like, I am not just my job. But when your finances get disrupted, whether you have money in the bank or not, by the way, I work with people who are actually financially fine, and I work with people who are, you know, two paychecks away from losing their house. So it doesn't seem to matter whether you have money in the bank or not. You will hit that panic, scarcity, I'm going to end up homeless, you know. And for some people, that's actually happened. And white collar professional homelessness is something we're not talking about. Probably not relevant here, but it happens.
Yeah, it does. And that is typically where our minds go, though. We tend to catastrophize and have some cognitive distortions when whether it's a job or really anything that catches us off guard and we go through a very traumatic experience, we tend to go to the worst case scenario. Oh my gosh, I lost my job today. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the street. I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. And so part of what I do as a therapist is to help people who have lost their job going through that difficult career transition to help them identify their cognitive distortions. Is it a thinking trap, for instance? Are you thinking about something in the future that hasn't happened yet? And I call it borrowing trouble. Are you borrowing trouble now for something that hasn't happened yet? And try to focus on the here and now. So I would love to know, what are some techniques, Catherine, that you have used for individuals who are struggling either with their identity or with that fear? How am I going to pay the bills? And they're coming to you and trying to figure out what's next. What are some techniques or some tools or some encouragement that you have used to help your clients?
Okay. Well, the first one is to jump in with logic, because this is your subconscious mind hijacking you, going, ack, ack, ack. So you jump in with logic and say, well, you know, it's statistically probable that somebody will hire me to do something. I have been employed for the last 20 years or 30 years. My clients tend to skew older, you know, 20 plus years of experience. So they can look back and say, well, yeah, I've been more or less working since I was 16 or 18. It's statistically probable that somebody. So that's one way to start tamping it down that makes sense to anybody. There's another way that people who are really going there and are naturally wired for anxiety, they have a particularly hard time with this transition because they're just wired that way anyway. They're always borderline anxious, and this just, you know, amps it up. So I recommend that they do Tim Ferriss's fear setting exercise, where you write the thing you're scared of and you write what you could do and how to mitigate it and, you know, potential outcomes. And once again, this is really good for the logic mind people, the analytical people, that type of thinker, because they can just see it on paper in three columns. Well, here's what I'm scared of. Here's what I could possibly do. Here's some, you know, possible outcomes. And just getting your fear has so much more power when it's in here and unvoiced than when you say it or when you put it on paper. It seems to lose some of its power. I think of it as those inflatable tube guys that they put outside of car dealerships like this. And in your head, they're like up and down. And then, you know, when you put it out there, when you talk about it with a trained professional or even journaling exercises where you just word vomit it on a page, these demons just go, and they're and they lose their power, but in your mind, they seem so real. And then when you say it, you're like, well, actually my sister has an extra room because her kid's at college, or actually, you know, my parents would happily lend me 20 grand. Like, you, there's inevitably in any situation, some backup situations, you're probably going to be fine, but it does not feel like that. So don't shame or blame yourself for feeling like that, because you will.
I'm glad you said that and brought that up, because there's that conflict, I think, or that tension between, well, I shouldn't feel this way, or I should feel this way. And it's that tension. And I always tell my clients that your feelings are valid. How you feel is very valid. That's what makes you a human being. These fears, these anxieties and depression and stress and all these feelings, that's to be expected. But are your feelings being influenced by your thoughts? And I like how you described it as, let's try to deflate those thoughts and not give them the power that they seem to have when they're just in their head. But let's talk about it or write them down. I really like that tip that you mentioned.
You know, and you mentioned something else. The normalizing it can be very helpful for people, which is, you know, I know we'll get to the book later. But in my career transition coaching, I have a group that people can attend meetings on Monday and Thursday. And there's a very deliberate reason why I do it twice a week, is so that nobody's in a bad headspace for more than 3 days. And whatever unhelpful, I like to call them unhelpful, unhelpful idea they may have in their brain, they can say it on the call. It's a place where we curse, we cry, we, you know, we share joys, we share pains. And somebody else, you know, five other people will raise their hand and say, oh, I had that this week. Yeah, I'm having a case of the Mondays too. Yeah, I didn't hear back from my recruiter either. And I think people tend to feel like they are the only one who has ever experienced grief around a job. I mean, it's just a job. I should be able to get out of bed and get on LinkedIn and start networking. No, you may be able to, you may be just fine, or you may have been knocked sideways and you need, you know, a couple duvet days or a vacation before you even think about talking to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. And to normalize it, but also not beat yourself up and give yourself some grace at the same time. It's not easy. Not easy at all. I mean, what we're talking about here is probably one of the hardest things you can do, and that is trying to fight against these thoughts that you're having, the doom and gloom, catastrophizing thoughts, and to challenge those thoughts and to say to yourself and convince yourself that you're going to be okay. This is horrible. This sucks. Let's call it like it is. It sucks, but I'm going to be okay. My family is going to be okay. And I think that's a big key to really work on that. So what I like to do now is it's just kind of, let's talk a little bit about the other big stressor, in not just the layoffs, but with a toxic workplace. So now we're talking about somebody who is not laid off, they're working, but they maybe hate their job because of the toxic workplace, whether it's a boss or just the culture of the company. So that brings up a whole nother set of feelings and emotions. So let's talk a little bit about that. Catherine, tell us a little bit of your definition of a toxic.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Workplace.
I don't know if there's an objective. I think it will vary by person, but a place where you are systematically disrespected, your opinion is not welcome, you are hired for your expertise and then not allowed to contribute, which happens a lot, especially to women, all the way up to bullying and hazing. I have had multiple people, not one, not two, so many people call me having had an experience where they ended up in the emergency room thinking they were having a heart attack. It was not a heart attack. It was a panic attack. And the panic attack was brought from work-related stress, generally with a boss making their life a living hell. Mm. And at a certain point, their body rebelled, freaked out, and they ended up in the emergency room. So that was, there was an inciting incident for me to get me to spend a year and a half to writing a book. That was it. I don't want that to happen anymore. I know people who were deliberately hazed for their religious beliefs and for other things, who ended up going inpatient, psychiatric inpatient treatment during COVID, and then went back to their jobs and were let go and immediately regressed into another depressive episode. I mean, what is going on in the workplace? In certain situations, obviously there's good work situations too, folks. I don't mean to be all gloom and doom, but people don't tend to call me when things are going well. So,
right.
So what I get are the disastrous situations. But once again, as with a layoff, you will be tempted to say, I'm overreacting. I should be able to deal with this. This is how all work situations are. No. It's not. Get out. They can't pay you enough to tank your mental and physical health.
Yeah, I like that. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking of your job or your position, and maybe it's your boss or manager, and you're resonating with this. This really describes my situation. I'm in a toxic relationship with my career or my job. And it could, what happens, I think, so often is that people are loyal, and they, I think for the most part, give people the benefit of the doubt, and they don't want to ruffle the feathers of their manager or their boss. But people stay in a position for a long, long time thinking that maybe it's them and not the toxic people in their life. And maybe it's something they did or didn't do, and it's their fault. And so, I'll just kind of overlook it this time. And then something else happens, and it wears on them, and it's very heavy. Worst case scenario, you just mentioned it, they end up in the hospital and have a mental or a nervous breakdown. And I see that too. I do. I do. I see that a lot in my job, in my work, where people really try to stay at a company and their job, but it's at the expense of their mental health.
Yes. And there's some gaslighting involved. Sometimes you can be made to feel like it's you. It may or may not be. If there's something you can shift on your side and it's worth your time to stay, try. There's some situations you just cannot fix. And then there's some times where you just see the writing on the wall and you wait it out. One of the first questions I ask when people come to me and they're in that situation and they have a new manager who's gunning for them, I'm like, well, how many managers have there been? Is this your third new manager that you've had in the last year or two? If they blew themselves out, got fired or moved to a different department in 30, 60, 90 days, would you still want to stay? Do you like what you're doing? Do you like the company generally? Do you like the rest of your team? So we pull apart the situation and see if it's potentially salvageable, because this person is just not going to make it. You know, you can tell their warning signs, or if you just have to get out. And, you know, part of what keeps people in unsavory situations is unhelpful advice from friends, family, the internet, whatever, saying, oh, well, you know, you're in your 50s. I don't know if you're going to be able to get a new job. I don't know. You'll have to take a pay cut. You'll have to take a title break, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't, says an expert in this. But you're going to hear a lot of really unhelpful advice. But what I know, and I hope you'll back me up on this, I'm going out a little on a ledge, is what happens is first you get the whisper, oh my God, I got to get out of here. And you know it. You're like, oh, but I'm a little scared. I'm close to getting a pension. Those still exist in very few organizations. Or, you know, I'm comfortable here. I've been here for 10 years. I'm up for this promotion, like whatever. There's that thing, but there's this whisper and you feel a little itchy, like you're in a sweater that itches a little bit. And then you're like, okay, I can suck it up. And then you get some warning, usually headaches or stomach problems or poor sleeping or little anxiety kicks in. Your body's like, ah, this isn't safe. Yeah, let's get out of here. And then if you ignore that, you get the health diagnosis or you end up in the emergency room or whatever. But it's a very clear escalation, and I'll sort of gauge people where they are on that. And here's the crazy thing that you must hear it because people tell you that stuff. I'll say, you know what, this sounds to me like you're going in a not good direction. You are going to start getting migraines or stomach problems or whatever, you know, some kind of warning sign. They're like, oh no, I already have them. I'm on medication. I saw my doctor about it. I'm like, that's not normal. But they, for some reason, people are able to think that that's normal or that's acceptable. And I don't know what's going on in our society, but that's not okay. It's not.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And a lot of people, that's kind of the first clue, if you will, is the psychosomatic, where your body is telling you something is up. It could be migraines. It could be you wake up at night and you can't get back to sleep because you're worried about something or someone. You know, it's a pretty good indicator that if you don't look forward to going to work because of one person, then that one person, it's very likely that one person is toxic. And so, yeah, I think the ultimate thing is realize when it's time for you to leave and talk to an expert, a career expert like yourself. Try to figure out, should I leave or should I stay? And for those who are maybe they're in a job and maybe it's not necessarily their manager, but maybe it's one person on their team that is more toxic. And maybe they don't see them every day, but when they do, they know it's going to be not a very good environment. And so they're not quite ready to quit because of that, but it's still kind of toxic. And so what would be something that you would encourage somebody who maybe is not quite ready to leave their company, but they're still feeling like at least every once in a while they're in a toxic environment? What would you say to that person? What could they do? What can someone do when they're in that situation?
Well, you can figure out how this person thinks and figure out a way to flatter them, praise them, stroke their ego. It hurts like heck to do it, but it makes your life easier. So, you know, support yourself. If that person, you know, is very political or clearly looking to take that next step, tell them how smart they are. Tell them how much you learned from their presentation. Costs you nothing, makes your life easier. Would be one suggestion. The other would be to find some humor with it. Because if they're just, you know, a loudmouth who's always jumping and trying to get attention or whatever their thing is, you can almost have a scorecard and say, oh, wow, it only took them 45 seconds to do that. That's a personal best. Like anything that you can take to pull yourself out of the situation and not take it personally, feel sorry for their spouse. Like I feel sorry for their kids. You know, whatever you can do to find some humor and a little bit of distance can be very helpful. And you're right. My overall guidance is let's see if we can fix this first. If you're already in there and, you know, you're competent, you more or less like what you do, you know, let's try and figure out some strategies for you to stay. On the other hand, if this situation is a heaping helping of crazy and you've had four bosses in over the past year, maybe it's time to get you out of there or switch to another division or something.
Yeah. So be aware of the signs and don't ignore them. And so, all right. So I want to talk about your practice for a moment, and then I want to talk about the book. So you are a career transition expert. When would you say, at what time in a phase of this, either they got, obviously if they lose their job, they come to you, but what if they haven't lost their job? Would you still encourage an individual to come to you for career coaching?
Yeah, they might want to just have a check-in. If they're thinking about making a change, or they're thinking about starting a business, or they're thinking about what's next, you know, at a certain age or a certain place in your career, you might say, you know what, I got all the toys, what's next? That's a good time to talk to somebody about your career, somebody objective, because you're going to spun some stories that whatever you want to do or think you might want to try isn't possible for you, no one will take you seriously, blah, blah, blah. So it's good to come to an expert who might say, oh, I actually know somebody who did this. Here's how they did it. And what? That's possible? So that's one situation. Also, if you are in a toxic work environment or have a troublesome boss, once again, you might be not being kind to yourself about not being able to make this work. That might be a good time to work with somebody or to help you plan a strategy, an exit strategy. You don't want to upend your finances unnecessarily. You might need a runway of 6 months or something to roll out into what you're planning. That's another good time.
I like that. So you don't have to be in a crisis. If you are, obviously you can get extra help, but you don't have to be in a job crisis to come and go to you or a career transition expert. It's just a matter of learning more about you and getting that feedback. You may not need to see a therapist, but maybe a coach and someone who's been doing this for a long time and they kind of know what they're talking about, and that extra encouragement. And that sometimes that's all you need. And so how would somebody, if they're listening to this, Catherine, how would they get a hold of you?
Oh, I'm all over the interwebs, point A to point B, transitions.com, or find me on LinkedIn and let's have a conversation.
Excellent. And I'll note here that I will put all your contact info on the show notes so people can access that really quickly. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book and then we'll wrap it up. So tell us a little bit about your book. I know we talked a lot about job loss and layoffs and toxic working place. What else do you talk about in your book?
Well, oddly enough, with the subtitle, first of all, this isn't working! Exclamation point is the title of the book. And my intended reader was this, banging their head on their keyboard. That was my intended reader. This isn't working. And it's not for your audience, but for the general population, the subtitle, Evolving the Way We Work to Decrease Stress, Anxiety, and Depression, might be a little bit of a buzzkill. That said, it is not a depressing book. It is funny and helpful and walks you through a bunch of case studies. So whatever wild situation you've experienced at work, somebody, you will get the normalization of it's not me, it's happened to other people, I'm not broken or damaged or unemployable. It's specifically for readers who are white-collar professionals, corporate employees, or entrepreneurs. That's who it was written for. Other people may get value from it, but that was not my intended audience. And what I was trying to do was show that there's always a possibility. No matter where you are, if you're in, you know, an awful work environment, you can get it to a better one. If you're just sort of feeling like, I need a new challenge, you can go find one. 2020 and 2021 blew up all the rules. The only rules are there are no rules. If somebody can tell me what they want to create, there's a very high likelihood that they can create it. And so it's a book mostly about normalizing some of the wild things going on in the world of work. I am strongly committed to evolving working so it works better for all of us. And I would love to go find something else to do if all this nonsense stops, John. Like, I'm good with it. I just want work to not be crushing people.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's great. And so if you are listening to this and you either lost your job or you're thinking about a career move or transition or really anywhere in that spectrum, I want to encourage you to go and look it up. And again, it is, this isn't working, exclamation mark, right?
Exclamation
mark point. And it's all over the place. Yep. There you go. If you're watching this, there's a picture of it. Go to Amazon. It's there. And then again, it'll be a link on my show notes so you can get that. It's going to be very helpful. Put it a part of your library and maybe gift it to somebody that you're thinking of as well. Well, Catherine, our time has come to an end. It's been a real joy and pleasure talking with you. I thank you for coming on. This is such a great topic. So many people are questioning their jobs these days and their careers and where they want to go. Do they want to stay? Were they forced out? And so there's all over the place, people's emotions and the gamut of that. And we talked about that. And I think this is such a timely topic, and your book is a timely book. And I just want to encourage anybody who is struggling with that or knows somebody that's struggling with their job, go get it. Go get it now. And just thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you so much, John.
It's my pleasure. And thank you all for listening to the show. And as always, I want you to continue to work on your mental health. My name is John Cordray, a therapist and the host of the Mental Health Today show. Take care, my friends. Until next time. Bye-bye.